John Wicks of the Records, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And today, in the wake of yesterday's gun violence in Texas, we will hear a little bit about that. We'll also hear about how the New York State Legislature is going to either ignore or pass the All-Electric Buildings Act to ban gas hookups in new buildings by 2024. We'll also hear about what movies are playing locally with Jenny Getty and Amanda Lees, and we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned. On June 17th, three bands come to Tubby's in Kingston. First E, the trio of Jason Sidney Sanford, Thaddeus Zedek, and Gavin McCarthy play rock music. Alive Skull, the renowned 1980s post-punk experimental rock band, is back together and are playing on this show with Upper Wilds, who record for Thrill Jockey and feature multi-instrumentalist songwriter Dan Friel, who's best known for his work in the band Parts and Labor. E, Live Skull, and Upper Wilds play at Tubby's in Kingston June 17th, and you can find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Delmar Wellness Center of Alachua, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Kathleen Moore reports for the Times Union that the State Education Department on May 24th canceled the Regents exam in U.S. History and Government, saying content in the test could add to the trauma students experienced following the Buffalo shooting. The test had already been printed, and students were scheduled to sit for the exam on June 1st. In a letter posted to the State Education Department website, Commissioner Betty Rosa wrote that although the exam's content was, quote, educationally sound, unquote, it was reviewed in the wake of the mass shooting, and that experts determined some of the content could potentially compound student trauma. Rosa wrote, quote, while developed by New York State certified social studies teachers more than 2 years ago and field tested to confirm that the exam's content is educationally sound, the tragedy in Buffalo has created an unexpected and unintended context for the planned assessment, unquote. Department spokesperson Emily DeSantis later issued a statement that suggested one question was involved. She wrote, quote, "It is not appropriate to administer the exam with a question that would compound the grief and hardship faced by our school communities," unquote. At the June 2022 Board of Regents meeting, the board will consider granting an exemption to allow students to graduate without taking the exam, DeSantis said. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Andrea Mako reports for Porcupine Soup that Greene County officials announced May 23rd another Greene County resident died of COVID-19. The woman passed away in a local hospital. She was in her 80s with comorbidities and was vaccinated, but did not have a booster shot, according to Greene County Administrator Sean Groden. Greene County also reported 53 new cases on May 23rd, with 80 total currently and 14 residents in the hospital. Right now, Greene County and all surrounding counties are considered at high risk, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and masks are recommended for all indoor public activity. Read more about this story at Porcupine Soup.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting that a Hopewell Junction woman was killed when she fell while hiking in Hunter, according to a report issued by the State Department of Environmental Conservation. Just after 12:30 p.m. on May 22nd, a DEC ranger responded to Platte Cove Road following the report of a fallen hiker. Rangers pronounced the woman dead at the scene. Her name was not released. Her body was transferred to the Greene County Coroner's Office for further investigation. State police are leading the investigation. Read more about the story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Farrell Greenwald Brenner report for the Times Union that Ulster County and Dutchess counties are getting two new opioid treatment centers. The New York State Office of Addiction Services and Supports announced last week that it was awarding two grants, $200,000, to the Lexington Center to open the facilities. The need is great in the Hudson Valley, as the New York State Department of Health reports that between July and September 2021, the overdose death rates in Ulster and Sullivan counties were more than double that of the rest of the state. And currently, Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston is the only provider of methadone to treat opioid addiction in Ulster County, and there are not any in Sullivan County. Kathleen Carney, the Lexington Center's director of Rockland County Treatment Program, said, and I quote, "When somebody is ready and they want to receive treatment or help for this disorder, it is always best for immediate engagement. If there's a delay, sometimes that could be a high-risk time for a client," end quote. Ulster County Department of Mental Health Commissioner Tara McDonald said, and I quote, "Hopefully by next year, we won't have any wait list at all," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that the town of Greenville will next month host the first weekend-long festival organized by the Yonder Company. The group launched in 2014 with the intention of providing phone-free environments at concerts and comedy shows. The Greenville event will take place from June 24th through 26th on private farmland on Route 81 and bring 15 musical acts and up to 400 music fans to the area. All fans will have their phones secured in Yonder pouches throughout the weekend, allowing concertgoers to hold onto their devices but unable to access their phones except in designated smartphone areas. Yonder founder and CEO Graham Dugani said a company team-building trip in Rensselaerville in Albany County raised the company's interest in hosting a music festival in upstate New York. Quote, "When we went there, everyone seemed to love the area, and we felt it like it kind of reflected what we hoped that a space for a festival would provide," unquote, Dugani said. Greenville Town Supervisor Paul Macko said the festival should pump money into the town's economy. Quote, "They're allowing camping on the site, and anytime you can bring people into your community, they generally spend money," unquote, he said. Quote, "That's great for the town and great for those small businesses that might service those people," unquote. Lineup for the June event includes indie rock band Chick Chick Chick, New Jersey rapper Topaz Jones, and Pennsylvania punk band Sheer Mag. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
Mid-Hudson News reports that the musical chairs game of which candidates are running for which offices in newly drawn congressional and state senate districts continues. Now State Senator James Sculpis, a Democrat from Cornwall, was considering running for Congress, but now will attempt to stay in the state Senate. Scovis was considering running for the 18th Congressional District, which would have put him in a primary election with current Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan. He says he's not running there because he does not want Republican Assemblyman Colin Schmidt and his, and I quote, demagoguing politics, end quote, to win. Scovis said, and I quote, "This is the man who actively supported the Stop the Steal rally turned insurrection," end quote. He claimed he could have beaten Ryan in the primary, but, and I quote, "It would no doubt leave our campaign in a bruised position with just 2 months until November's challenging general election," end quote. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 73 degrees. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low of around 50 degrees. And on Thursday, isolated showers, partly sunny with a high near 73. Thursday night, scattered showers, mostly cloudy with a low of around 60 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, on Wednesday, May 25th, including the premiere broadcast of Music in Time, a new radio show on WGXC from Evan McCormick from Catskill. He takes us back to the hills of Los Angeles in February 1969 with the Flying Burrito Brothers on his first show, Gilded Palace of Sin. 11 a.m. Maria Manhattan hosts the Hudson Cafe with all kinds of classics from the American Songbook. And then at noon, we go live to Main Street in Catskill with Spike Priggen and his Bedazzled Radio Hour. 7 p.m. we're live from New York City with the Off the Hook show from the 2600 Hacker Collective talking technology. At 8 p.m. it's time for Music for the Masses focusing on Haitian Heritage Month. And at 10 p.m. Driftless Turmoil features the music of Vangelis Unsane and Iserson Nobotten and more on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Monday, May 30th is Memorial Day, and Porcupine Soup rounds up where there are events for the holiday in Greene County. Windham has a memorial program at 9 a.m. Friday, May 27th, starting at the Windham Ashland Jewett Central School front bus loop, then heading to the Ashland Cemetery, Windham Cemetery, and Hensonville Monument near the town hall. On Memorial Day itself, there are events in Athens, Greenville, Cairo, New Baltimore, Coxsackie, and Plattsville. In Athens, the parade starts at 9 a.m. on May 30th at Wheat Street, Route 385, with stops at the Triangle to lay wreath, and then proceeds up Franklin Street to TGM American Legion Post 187 with speakers and refreshments. Greenville's parade begins at 10:15 a.m. at St. John's Church, then heads down State Route 81 into the hamlet, with a memorial service following the parade at Greenville Veterans Park Gazebo.
K-Rose Parade steps off at 11 a.m. near Schindler's Auto Shop on Main Street and heads to Angelo Cana Town Park with a memorial service with American Legion Mohican Post 983. There is also a Memorial Day ceremony at 11 a.m. at the Coyman's Hollow Fire Department, 1290 Route 143. Cooksaki's Parade begins at 1 p.m. on Apple Blossom Lane and proceeds down Mansion Street with stops at the World War II Monument, the Mansion Street Cemetery, and the World War I Monument at the church corners before ending at Village Hall. And Prattsville's Virgil E. Deo American Legion Post 1327 hosts an annual Memorial Day Parade at 1 p.m. with a Memorial Day ceremony to follow at the town green.
Listening to the three extra web streams available at wavefarm.org/listen or wgxc.org, any wgxc.org page. Click on the listen button. Here, Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, or the test site of Acoustic Commons. Live weather you can hear on your radio anytime you want at wgxc.org or wavefarm.org/listen. Hear the hydrophones in the Wave Farm pond in Zach Poff's Pond Station, the microphone outside in the woods at Wave Farm in the test site of Acoustic Commons, and hear a live stream of an analog drone synthesizer playing the weather, the changes in precipitation, the changes in sunlight, the changes in wind, and the changes in temperature. At wavefarm.org/listen, you can hear Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, and the test site of Acoustic Commons on any WGXC.org page. Click on the listen button to tune in your weather.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, May 25th. Earlier this morning, the temperature ranges from 49 in Halcott Center to 53 in Stockport. Soil temperature is hanging out at 59 degrees. Another nice day is ahead with low winds and low cloud cover, a high of 75 happening at 4 p.m. Overnight temperatures fall to 53 degrees, then bounce back up to 74 by 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. Near sunset, chances of rain enter the area and linger overnight as temperatures fall to 60 degrees. Friday will have a rainy afternoon with possible storms and a high of 79. A low of 66 overnight takes us into a Saturday with chances of rain and a high of 75. Pollen levels for today will be high. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 6:28 a.m., high tide at 12:08 a.m., low tide again at 6:45 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 69 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:03 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:22 a.m. Looking way up, we see coming up our chances for a meteor storm early Tuesday morning as Earth enters the debris field of Comet 73P. Solar wind speed is currently 376 kilometers per second at 5.6 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. The current sunspot number is 137. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Edward Ruschalski of Syracuse, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
This is Anya.
And this is Peter.
And we host a show called Rock and Roll High School.
On WGXC. First Monday of the month.
8 to 10 p.m. Tune in. Ooh.
We did it at the same time.
Yeah.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
So tonight, I ask the nation to pray for them, give the parents and siblings the strength in the darkness they feel right now. As a nation, we have to ask, when in God's name are we going to stand up to the gun lobby?
President Joe Biden delivered remarks yesterday evening after a gunman killed at least 19 children and two adults at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. Texas Governor Greg Abbott said the suspect entered the school with a handgun and may have had a rifle, although that has not been confirmed. Uvalde Police Chief Pete Arredondo spoke shortly after the shooting.
And at this point, the investigation is leading to tell us that the suspect did act alone during this heinous crime.
Abbott has confirmed the shooter, an 18-year-old male, is deceased. Connecticut Democratic Senator Chris Murphy spoke on the Senate floor to urge action from his fellow lawmakers.
What are we doing? There have been more mass shootings than days in the year. Our kids are living in fear every single time they set foot in the classroom because they think they're going to be next. What are we doing?
According to tracking by Education Week, the Uvalde school massacre marks the 27th school shooting this year. Several Texas lawmakers are scheduled to speak at a National Rifle Association conference in Houston on Friday, including Senators Ted Cruz and John Cornyn, along with former President Donald Trump. Biden is expected to issue an executive order today aimed at overhauling federal policing on the two-year anniversary of the death of George Floyd. Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Arkansas, and Minnesota held primaries on Tuesday. Stacey Abrams won the Democratic nomination for governor in Georgia. She ran unopposed. She spoke to reporters on Election Day.
And I urge everyone to pay less attention to rhetoric and more attention to the record and to the results.
Former Senator David Perdue is expected to lose an attempt to win the state's GOP nomination from incumbent Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, dealing a blow to Trump, who had endorsed Perdue. The Associated Press reports Herschel Walker has won Georgia's Republican Senate primary and will face incumbent Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock in November. In Arkansas, former White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders is heavily favored to be the nominee to replace incumbent Governor Asa Hutchinson, who is term limited. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe at Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. Joe Constance claims at Bloomberg that New York City removed its last freestanding public payphone from city sidewalks on May 23rd, moving it into the Museum of the City of New York exhibit Analog City. The phone booths at many locations are being replaced with digital Wi-Fi kiosks. Quote, truly the end of an era, but also hopefully the start of a new one with more equity and technology access, unquote, Manhattan Borough President Mark Levine tweeted. The digital kiosks include free phone call capabilities, interactive maps, and USB charging stations. While New York City may be removing all of its payphones, they are still on sidewalks elsewhere. Right on the sidewalk on North 4th Street in Hudson, across from the WGX studio, there is a payphone. Find out more radio news at wavefarm.org in the newsroom.
A young cowboy named Billy Joe grew restless on the farm. A boy filled with wanderlust who really meant no harm. He changed his clothes and shined his boots and combed his dark hair down. And his mother cried as he walked out, don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town. Laughed and kissed his mom and said, you're Billy Joe's a man. I can shoot as quick and straight as anybody can. But I wouldn't shoot without a cause, I'd gun nobody down. But she cried again as he rode away. Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town. He sang a song as on he rode, his guns hung at his hips. He rode into a cattle town, a smile upon his lips. He stopped and walked into a bar and laid his money down. But his mother's words echoed again. Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town. He drank his first strong liquor then to calm his shaking hand and tried to tell himself at last he had become a man. A dusty cowpoke at his side began to laugh him down. And he heard again his Hitler's words. Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town. Bill with rage, then Billy Joe reached for his gun to draw. But the stranger drew his gun and fired before he even saw. As Billy Joe fell to the floor, the crowd all gathered round and wondered at his final words. Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Amanda.
It is so great to be here again. Let's tell you a little bit about what's playing in our local theaters in this area. I'm going to start at the top of the mountain. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Wyndham Movie Theater. So this is very exciting. We have Top Gun Maverick. We have The Bad Guys. And then we have Downton Abbey, A New Era. And that's what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. That is Windham Theater.com. Head there for more info.
I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Crandall Theater in Chatham. So the movie that is currently on is Downton Abbey, A New Era, through this weekend. And then following that, in the next couple of weekends, they will have Petite Maman, Hit the Road, The Northman, The Automat, Jurassic World Dominion, and The Unbearable Weight of all the other words I can know. Massive Talent, that's what it is. I can't remember what the rest of it is.
The Unbearable Weight of Fame?
Like stuff, that. I don't know. You know, the movie with Nicolas Cage. And you can find out those specific show times and when they're coming at crandalltheater.org.
That is a good lineup.
I know, okay. Fun.
I have something really exciting to tell you. So as we know, both of our drive-ins, we actually are blessed with many drive-ins in this beautiful Hudson Valley, but the ones that are most in the WGXC range are the Greenville drive-in and the Highway drive-in. And I'm going to tell you about the Greenville drive-in first. This Memorial Day weekend, we have a Keen on Keanu double feature with Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and The Matrix.
Wow.
I know. So you can find out more about this double feature and the Greenville drive-in at drivein32.com.
I shall now tell you about Spotlight Cinemas in Hudson. And that is playing, and that's the one on Fairview, if you're not familiar. They are playing a movie I've never heard of called 2000 Mules. They're also playing Downton Abbey, A New Era, Firestarter, a remake, The Northman, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, The Bad Guys, and Sonic the Hedgehog 2. You can still see it. It's not too late.
Just hanging on there.
And you can find those showtimes at spotlightcinemas.com/Hudson. Or you can just Google it. That works too.
Alrighty. So last but not least, I'm going to tell you about what's playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday for Memorial Day weekend at the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie. This is a theater that has four screens and each has a double feature. So on screen one, we have Top Gun Maverick and Lost City. On screen two, we have the Bob's Burgers movie and Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which, by the way, I love the silliness of that title. It's how comic books are supposed to be.
Yeah, for real.
All right, on screen three, we have The Bad Guys and Sonic 2. And on screen four, we have Everything Everywhere All at Once and Men.
Nice.
And you great can find pairing. Out more about that at highwaydrivein.com. That's HIWAYdrivein.com.
Last but not least, I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the two Upstate Films locations. The first one is in Rhinebeck. And that one has, in the next couple of weeks, Downton Abbey, A New Era. There's like a lot of places you can see that movie, which is very exciting.
I love Downton Abbey.
They sure do. A special screening of a film called Urbanized with director Gary Hustwit, Men, Everything Everywhere All at Once. And then over in Saugerties, they are playing A Hard Day's Night, Top Gun Maverick, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Secret of Kells, which is very exciting, Downton Abbey A New Era, don't forget, The Northmen, and Happening. And you can find out those showtimes at upstatefilms.org.
Amazing. I really appreciate that. I guess both of them do it, but the Saugerties one still packs in like a little bit of a blockbuster.
The blockbusters. Yeah, I really appreciate that too. They do a nice combo. And then Rhinebeck's like mostly art, but they do a combo also.
Exactly. Just like the Crandall. It's nice.
Yeah, it is nice. I love our local movie theaters.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say live and let live. This ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry. Say, live and let
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined by Anne Rabe, the Environmental Policy Director of NYPIRG, the New York Public Interest Research Group. The legislature is rapidly running down before they go home for their long vacation and their campaigns. June 2nd allegedly is their last date, but not surprised that goes a day or two later than that. Not much has been done so far on climate, but one of the big issues that has a fair amount of momentum is the All Electric Buildings Act. So Anne, can you tell us a little bit about this proposal and why it's so important?
Buildings are the largest greenhouse gas emitters in New York State. New York City law last passed requiring starting in 2024 that all new buildings constructed be all electric. This bill does the same thing on the statewide level.
So what's the holdup? I understand that the governor had initially put it into the budget. There was some disagreement. about moving up the date, which she seemed to agree to. And then the assembly didn't want to do it in the budget because the budget shouldn't deal with policy. But now it seems stalled a bit.
It stalled in the assembly. As of Friday, the Senate Majority Leader contacted the Speaker, we understand, and said they want to pass this bill. We have to. Climate can't wait. The Assembly Speaker has not budged. So we are calling all 217 groups supporting this and pushing the Assembly. It's a must-pass this session.
So I understand that part of the problem is that some of the unions who represent, I guess, particularly construction workers who would be building homes, you know, like the jobs, I think, comes from, you know, building more gas hookups. Is this a job killer bill?
No, it's basically scare tactics by National Grid. Unions that install fossil fuel gas homes can easily transition to installing all electric heat pumps, etc. So there's no need for this, but National Grid is desperate to continue to utilize fossil fuels. And so they've activated their labor unions to oppose it.
Yeah, and you mentioned National Grid because, you know, the Assembly Speaker is from New York City as probably the single largest block. But as you said, New York City's already done this bill. So this is a bill that would impact, you know, the rest of the state. Are there any of the construction unions, you know, getting on board with this?
There are a few that are having conversations with geothermal heat pump companies and getting trainings on installing geothermal heat pumps. I am reluctant to use their names, Mark. It's a transition process. But I want to note that Con Ed and Long Island Power Authority strongly support this and say we have the electric capacity through 2031 to do it, starting in 2024.
Now, one piece of propaganda that I understand some of the opponents are arguing is, well, you know, heat pumps are fine during the summer months for air conditioning. But, you know, it gets really cold in upstate New York and particularly air heat pumps just don't work really well in cold weather. How accurate is that?
Totally inaccurate. Heat pumps perform very well below 10 degrees Fahrenheit and have been successfully tested in the Arctic and Minnesota. Montreal just started an all-electric new rise construction starting in 2024. And Montreal's a pretty cold winters.
Hmm. So what needs to happen in the last, I don't know what it is, 10 days or so or a week before, to get this bill passed? What needs to be done to convince the state assembly leadership to the climate is a crisis, and we can't wait for them to dither around?
We urge everyone who cares about addressing the climate crisis to call their assembly member and urge their assembly member to contact the speaker or the speaker's senior staff and say this is a must-pass bill, Assembly 8431B. It's a must-pass bill for this session.
I know earlier in the session that I think the Renewable Heat Now campaign was trying to get the legislature to allocate $1 billion a year, I believe, to help, you know, provide subsidies to low and moderate income people. And that, unfortunately, has not made it into the budget yet. What is being done to help try to make, you know, heat pumps a little bit more affordable, particularly for, you know, your low and moderate income residents?
A lot has been done. NYSERDA has many financial assistance programs, especially for low and moderate income families. And LIPA has a fantastic rebate. Their study shows that they provide $5,000 rebate. So that's basically $16,000 after rebates to buy a heat pump versus a gas-fueled home is $22,000.
If people want to find out more information about air heat pumps, you know, does NYSERDA or NYPERG, they have some, you know, website information about this?
We're starting to put some up. I would urge them to contact, you know, to look at NYSERDA's website. There's many educational programs about heat pumps and about going all electric and how we can do it. And there's many financial assistance programs. So, yes, I'd urge them to go to NYSERDA right now.
How are legislators in the Capital District, particularly, you know, the Democrats, because they're the ones that actually control government at this point, how are the Capital District Assembly member and senators, you know, lining up on this issue? I believe I heard this Assemblymember Santa Barbara, more moderate, actually signed on to this recently or come out in support?
Well, he's agreed to meet with us.
Oh, meet. Well, okay.
But Assemblywoman Fahey and Assemblymember Steck have been great champions. Assemblymember McDonald, Santa Barbara, we are meeting with, and we are hoping that they will come on board. And I would say, you know, we've got 48 assembly sponsors, Mark, which is good. We need a lot more. But right now our ask is, call the speaker assembly member and say this is a must-pass bill.
Now, you know, a lot of groups right now are, you know, submitting comments to the New York State Climate Action Plan that the Climate Action Council set up under the CLCPA climate law a couple of years ago. Has the Climate Action Council weighed in on this issue about the need for all electric buildings?
Yes, they have. Peter Iwanowitz and Bob Howarth both testified at the assembly hearing on May 12th, strongly in support of this bill. And in fact, one of their biggest recommendations is that the legislature should pass this bill in 2022 to start all electric for new buildings in 2024.
Now, I mentioned earlier that in the governor's proposed, you know, budget back in January, you know, she had proposed basically a version of the All Electric Buildings Act. So she had a, you know, timeline of 2027 rather than 2024. What type of leverage is, you know, Governor Hochul, if any, asserting on the assembly at this point to try to get them to the final agreement?
As far as we know, none.
None. Huh. That's too bad. How is climate in general doing in the whole state legislative process with a week or so to go?
It's not been good. You know, EV car charging station bill, a number of other transportation bills have been stuck in the assembly. The one good news is, we recently heard that the Fahey-Krueger bill to establish energy efficient appliance and building construction codes has reached agreement and is moving very quickly in both assembly and the Senate.
Okay. If people want to find out more information about what NYPERG is doing on this and other climate issues, I assume you have a website.
Yes, or they can reach me at arabe@nyperg.org or 518-560-1849.
And information about the All Electric Buildings Act, is there a coalition webpage or anything?
Yes, Renewable Heat Now. Renewable Heat Now has a really nice educational website, as well as Climate Can't Wait.
Okay. Well, we've been talking with Ann Rabe, Environmental Policy Director of NYPERG, the New York Public Interest Research Group, NYPERG.org, I believe. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Here's Catskill's Brian DeWan with the song Shooting Star from his 2007 album Sleep on It. Thank you.
Thank you.